hours and sometimes days being held without a bathroom. And this is what the Chicago Police Department is doing, right? So as we talk to our mayor, we need to make sure we understand that Lori Lightfoot is a prosecutor.
Yep.
Her only skills are that are carceral. And our claim is any system that has a building like this is inherently violent.
Yes. Right. Yes.
So when we talk about the violence in our community, let's talk about it with humanity. It is not sports, it is not statistics. Let's talk about it the way we talk about violence everywhere. We are talking about an area that has been, historically, Chicago is the capital of red line segregation. A systemic taking away from access to resources and political power, and what the result of that trauma was conflict, and the response to that conflict was more violence.
That's right.
So people talk about, hey, there's violence happening in Chicago, we need to go lock them up. And they never say the south and west side of Chicago are the most heavily policed areas of the United States of America.
Right.
The south and west sides of Chicago prove that policing does not solve violence. If anything, the investment in policing perpetuates violence. The Chicago Police Department, like every police department in the United States, is a military institution. So in every city across the country, similar to our national budget, mayors, Democrat and Republican alike, invest 40 to 60% of public resources into militarism. That is killing us. It is not a surprise that they are ready to respond with tear gas in an instant. It is not a surprise that they are ready to beat children over a statue, a symbol of racism, and then a week later perform politically taking it down anyway.
Come on, say that.
Say that again, brother.
So that means Lori Lightfoot is either performing for political points at the expense of our lives, or she does not have control of a police department that is actively supporting fascism in the streets.
Hello.
So either way, we have a military coup on our hands, or we have a prosecutor who is looking to incarcerate their city and is looking to continue the domination of our lives. So we are here as a part of a larger campaign to defund the Chicago Police Department.
That's right! Yes. Yes.
Among that, there are many supporting demands of what that looks like. One of them is looking like closing down Holman Square.
That's right.
I challenge all of the journalists here to try to find out how much we spend on Holman Square as a society, because we cannot. So I know this mayor ran on transparency within government and all this performance around a consent decree, but what is happening in here, we still do not know. I slept out here for 41 days, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, I would see tanks coming in and out of here. I would see teenagers who playing with BB guns be taken and tried to take it to that abandoned movie theater instead of the two police departments that are within a mile of this space. So when we say divest from the police, let's talk about what we're talking about, because the conversation is getting narrowed. We honor the memory of George Floyd, and we will no longer allow politicians to bastardize the names of our martyrs. This is bigger than George Floyd. This is about every police department, including the Chicago Police Department.
Yeah.
Say that again, brother.
Christopher Columbus is arguably the most despicable historical figure in Woo! History, but it's not about his terrible legacy. It's about how that legacy continues through systems such as policing and prison. So what we are talking about is transforming our society away from violence.
That's right.
Arresting somebody and throwing them in a cage is violence and torture. We cannot solve violence with violence. This is not a military problem. This is a problem of trauma. The same places where the shooting are happening are the same places where the most schools were closed down, the same places where we are seeing displacement, where we're seeing a food apartheid, where we've seen a closing of mental health facilities. The resources people need to survive.
Yes.
The resources we need to develop our humanity and our empathy. These are crises of trauma. But we want to talk about them in headlines and in segments as if this is just happening in isolation and not a part of a collective structure that has been killing black people for 500 years in this land. That has been killing indigenous people for 500 years in this land.
500 years.
So when our mayor says, I don't want your federal troopers, I want them to come under my jurisdiction, we don't want to see a pissing contest about who can get the political points about locking up black people. These are children we are talking about. They need resources. We need resources. We need each other. So Freedom Square stands across the street from this horrible place where people have died, where people have been abused, where people have been raped, where people have been tortured into illegal confessions, where people have been, where young children have been entrapped into giving information, where young children have been disappear for days without any access to a lawyer or any rep... Shout out. Or any access to their family or people. Across the street, for 41 days, we tried to live out our abolitionist reality. And what that looks like for those who don't know, when you say, what do we do about the violence? We create a society where every person has a place to live. They should not have to afford it. Every person, every day of their life, has food to eat. Every person, and particularly every child, has access to educational resources, can have access to art programs, can sing, dance, rap, make films, write books, do whatever they want to be creative, where we can live our lives. Where our young people and our elders have adequate resources. Where our other social systems are not carceral. Where black trans women have a right to live. And so this is a space that's aiming to name the world that we want. Lori Lightfoot is closer to Donald Trump than she is to us. The Democratic Party has been just as complicit in this investment of incarcerating and militarizing not only our nation, but our world. Both of these, this partisan fight is killing us, and we are building a movement from the grassroots with our people. This is about transforming our communities and building stronger, healthy systems. The way we solve violence is healthy communities and healthy relationships, and that is the antithesis of that. That destroys us, and we are here for our people. We are here for life. We are here for love.
Peace, y'all. My name is Trina Reynolds Tyler. I'm a member of the band Black Abolitionist Network Collective. And I'm here to talk to you about how Home and Square is notorious for disappearing and torturing, violating people's rights on a regular basis. This is a fact. This is not something that we have just pretended or made up in our minds. This is something that has been documented. This is something that if you look up the Guardian article, you will see depositions of police officers. You will see depositions of literal people, people who were negatively impacted by the violence that they encountered inside of Home and Square. And when I say disappearing people, I mean it. And when I say that the relationship between what the feds plan on coming here to do and what the city of Chicago, the Chicago's police department has already been doing, I'm saying it's the same thing. What they have been doing is snatching people up, taking them away, not giving them legal representation, not letting them call their relatives nor their family members in order to let them know where they have been. It's a human rights violation, and honestly, when we look at what's going on in Portland, there is a relationship with what has already been done to people today. We know that there are torture survivors. We know that people did not survive the torture that occurred at the site that is right across the street from us. It's not right. We want to defund the CPD by 75%. And I understand. That's scary. That can be scary for people, especially when many people equate safety being to police. And that's really something that we've been conditioned to do. But when you think about the things that really keep us safe, for example, public health, the Department of Family Support Services, clean water, streets and sanitation, and housing, if you were to combine all of those budgets, you would still have a number that is less than what the Chicago Police Department gets today. That does not include the settlements that we have to pay out. That does not include the $33 million CPS contract that we are still fighting about, right? That doesn't include the civil asset forfeiture, the money that they get from literally taking things from people throughout their day-to-day life. If anybody hasn't done so already, I really encourage you to look up Settling for Misconduct. It's literally a database that shows you the numbers of money and the literal stories of people who have been violated by police officers. And many times, in 2018, I believe we spent over $113 million of taxpayer money outside of the $1.76 billion that CPD gets. We spent that paying families for police misconduct, for police torture, for home invasions. Did you know that you are 6 times more likely to get your home invaded by the police?
Yep.
Than you are by a civilian? Did you know that if you live on the south or west side of Chicago, you're 15 times more likely to get your crib invaded by the police? This is not a joke. This is not a joke. People are hungry. People are struggling with addiction. Lori Lightfoot has announced that she wants to expand her narcotics diversion arrest program where people may or may not get access to a counselor based on their eligibility, and that only happens after the fact that they're arrested? No. We believe that drug rehabilitation centers should exist right now.
That's
because
right.
People are struggling right now.
That's right.
We need to expand our services for people experiencing homelessness. Far too long, there have been so many barriers for people who are experiencing homelessness to get services. If you have ever experienced homelessness and you know what it feels like to have to carry your things with you everywhere that you go, and having to get to the shelter at a certain time in order to receive those services and maybe losing your spot, not having somewhere to sleep that night, if you know about the food that we provide to folks through our government resources, and how, like, really, if folks are experiencing homelessness, they shouldn't just be getting whatever we give. They should be invested in. They should be cared for. They deserve nutritious meals, too.
That's right.
Now, a lot of people want to talk about accountability. A lot of people want to talk about accountability. And reformists, many times what they say is, oh, we need more body cameras. But Harith Augustus did not get justice with body cameras because the police didn't even turn on their body cameras until after they shot him. People say we need more surveillance, we need more cameras. Well, Jason Van Dyke was caught shooting Laquan McDonald 16 times, and the state's attorney didn't charge him until the streets turned up on them. So police accountability to us looks like defunding the police. It looks like reducing the proximity of police to people.
Yes.
I mean, if the fact that Lori Lightfoot even believes that we need a narcotics diversion program where someone is arrested first and then maybe given treatment, like, that is a problem.
Absolutely.
That's a problem. People should have access to safety, access to treatment on a regular basis, period. And they shouldn't have to be arrested to be able to access services.
Absolutely.
It does not make any sense. It does not make any sense. The way that accountability has looked so far in this city, it's tragic. It's literally wrapped up in settlements that result in paying tax dollar monies and doesn't result in police actually being held for accountable for their actions, because a settlement is really a payoff. We need to talk about the Fraternal Order of Police. This police union who literally has written so many loopholes in their contract in order to protect the police over the citizens of Chicago. Dante Servin murdered Rekia Boyd. He was undercharged by the state's attorney in this city. When organizers turned up on the police board, who at the time was led by our current mayor, Lori Lightfoot, when they finally decided to have a firing hearing for this man, he resigned. That means he's able to retain his pension and he could become a police officer anywhere else outside of Chicago. We have so many loopholes, so many technicalities for police officers. But if you look at the complaint records that can be found that the city is trying very hard not to release en masse, you will see the stories of people who have experienced violence at the hands of the police and had the courage and the strength to take a step and attempt to report that. The numbers that we see around police complaints, that is an underreported number, because everybody is not filing reports. People are afraid of retaliation. Yeah. These police officers know where you live.
That's right.
They know your children. I've read complaint records where officers have said, "Shut up before I make your children orphans." And nothing was done because police officers are believed before citizens are believed. And that's not right.
That's not right.
That's not right. So, I think we need to really be honest about the fear that many people, even if you have not had a negative encounter with the police, feel when they see blue lights. When you see blue lights, when you see an officer walking beside you, there's something in your body that stiffens. There is something that your body knows is afraid, even though you have not done anything wrong. That is not the voice of just me. That's the voice of young people in the hallways where police officers are stationed in corners, like on corners in their building. That's people who have literally never had a negative encounter with the police. And when the police pull them over, whether it be for a ticket or for them to tell them to have a good day, they tense up, they clench in fear. What we learned from the mass shooting that happened is that police don't keep us safe.
Say that again.
What we learned from the mass shooting on 79th is that police don't keep us safe. Police were there. Police were notified. And at the time, they were like, they, not only did they not prevent it, but they also like did not stop it midway. And honestly, the only thing that they bring to the table are handcuffs. And incarceration, what we know what incarceration does to communities. We know that when someone dies, when someone is incarcerated, when someone is disappeared, you might lose a whole financial stability that you've been leaning on. You might lose food on the table. You might lose the love, something, someone who is helping you get through the day-to-day, because this is hard.
Right.
What do you expect people to do when you disproportionately invest in the police, who only have the resources to lock up people and beat them with batons and shoot them, tase them, instead of investing into things like housing? We know there's an eviction crisis coming soon. That eviction crisis is happening right now.
Yes,
period. In February, or was it March? Over 83,000 people applied for Lori Lightfoot's housing relief. 2,000 slots. 2,000 slots for 83,000 people. It doesn't even matter. I know JB is trying, Governor Priska has introduced this new, you know, this new opportunity for people to get housing relief related to COVID-19. But it should not only be related to COVID-19. Everybody should have a home.
That's right.
Everybody should have a home.
That's right.
Everybody should have something to eat. The police accountability that has been implemented by the city is literally like when it is guided by elected officials, it looks like surveillance so that they can catch criminals and lock them up.
Wow.
It looks like catching a crime after the fact. And I know a lot of people say that murders are so like, well, our city has so many murders. The police have such a low clearance rate of murders. They're literally not solving murders. They're not solving murders. The people who are in Homan Square, I think about 75% of them were in Homan Square for narcotics, right? This is drugs. And at the end of the day, like, when Lori Lightfoot says we need to do both and, when we're talking about defunding the police or reducing the proximity police, she wants you to think that she's proportionately investing in housing and all these
right.
other services.
Right.
She's not. She's not. She is investing in police and policing. She is growing the population of people who are incarcerated. She's literally, the elected officials who are not holding her accountable are contributing towards the violence of people in their communities. We know that crime is rooted to poverty. We know that crime is like, many times people don't wake up and say, I'm trying to rob somebody. They come to a decision like, I'm going to do what I got to do because I got to do it for my people. And we believe that the city needs to invest into those things. The city of Chicago civilians should not have had to force a consent decree on this city. Like Lori Lightfoot should have been, our elected officials should have been on that. But no, people had to push that. People had to push the Columbus statue to be removed, which Lori Lightfoot says is going to come back eventually. People have to push to create a space where we imagine a world without police,
yes.
Which to me, y'all should be open to, because you should be surprised, like, oh, snap. So we don't have police. What are we doing then? What kind of mechanism, what kind of structures exist so that we can keep people safe without thinking that we need to put them in a cage?
That's right.
And so I thank you for coming out to talk to us today. I thank y'all for showing up. I believe that this needs to be a sustained effort. You cannot just come to one thing and say that you've been about it or you be about it. You need to really call your alder people and tell them to defund CPD, because come this new budget proposal at the end of the year, I need all of the alder people to know that we want to defund the CPD. They do not keep us safe.
So the next speaker will be Mark Clemens, M-A-R-K, last name Clemens, C-L-E-M-E-N-T-S.
The city of Chicago, for many years, have played political football with the lives of black and brown people. One of the reasons I know is that you're looking at someone that was 16 years old. And I was taken to a police station back in 1981, having my genitals and my testicles grabbed and squeezed. Well, what have we seen different from 1981 to 2020? We haven't seen much different. We can watch 15 people be shot on the south side of Chicago and a police car rides right past this shooting. And what we see is little mention about the lack of accountability.
Yes, sir.
We have still this day over 100 men and women that are remaining to suffer behind prison walls based off of what John Burge did to them. John Burge may be dead, but his tortures still ring on. It still rings on in our pockets. It still rings on in our communities, where our children are denied fair education.
Yes, sir.
We change the players with the same game.
Wow.
Lori Lightfoot was head over the Office of Professional Standards. What did we see Lori do? She heard the complaints of men and women that had been taken to police stations and tortured.
Come on now.
Why do I take this personal? I lost 28 years of my life. I seen how much the city of Chicago cares about the people. They let the real killers go free. No one has stepped up and put pressure on the city of Chicago to correct this mess. We have a torture center, Chicago Torture Justice Center, in the city of Chicago. Do you know why? Because we came out of prisons. They didn't want to give us anything. They didn't want to give us jobs. They didn't want to give us housing. They didn't want to give us health care. And they knew what they did to young children. Marcus Wiggins, a 13-year-old child, taken to the police station in 1991. The city of Chicago in 1994 settles the lawsuit. But the tortures continue. Understand one thing. Chicago is only a city that have changed the same goddamn faces from one office to the next. Lori Lightfoot does not have the integrity to be a mayor.
Say that again.
You know why she don't have the integrity? Because Lori served as a federal prosecutor, as an attorney. And guess what? She knows that there are men and that there are women that are sitting behind prison bars right now, and they're suffering. Where is the accountability? We get a police chief who tries to make it look like the crime rates in this society is led because men and women are being released on bond. I am the only individual who looked him in his face and called him out. I called him out because I know he cannot come up with one case where that men were released because of COVID-19 back into this society on a bond and committed these crimes in this society. As being someone that has been caught up into a political football game, I urge the entire city council to have a heart and to pass CPAC. Pass CPAC. Today, I sit on the working group committee of excessive force with the Chicago Police Department. Why? Because I want to see change. But there's no change. There's no change. And the importance of all media is this. Take back these faces. Take back these tears. Take back the plight. Natalie, the same station you work for, you had a journalist by the name of Paul Hogan. Paul lost his life to help people. He lost his life to help people. And today, you're holding the mic. We got to change what we have seen. We gotta change it. CPAC, what can it do? It can put us, the community, as a council, to finally investigate police officers that have acted without regard for the rights of human beings and to hold them accountable.
Yes, sir.
Lori Lightfoot, her whole mission is to pay the taxpayer dollars to try and hope that these nightmares go away. It can't go away. As a young kid who stood before a judge and watched these people laugh at me because I told them, they grabbed my genitals and they grabbed my testicles. That same mess still exists right now today, right down the street over at 2600 South California. We must tell it right. I've been out of prison for 12 years. I lost my mother, my fighter. And I come back to a society I can't recognize. And it's full of shit. It's totally full of shit. You have not given the kids an opportunity. You have not invested into the young kids. You have not taken the opportunity to invest into the community so that it can invest into the kids. All I want to say, there's a name, Richard Zuli. He worked right here. And Richard Zuli came from the military just like John Burge. And he beat people and he hid people from their families. 700 cases of men and women placed in this police station and they were held hostage against their will. Take this back to Lori Lightfoot. You can have your damn statues. We need investment into our community. We have no mental health on the South Sector of Chicago. We have no fair jobs when men and women are released out of prison. I'm a Burge torture survivor, but leaving out of prison, I had to beg for a goddamn job. Think about that. I deal with post-traumatic stress right now. Post-traumatic stress right now. All because of being a kid tied up in a police station and police officers grabbing my genitals and my testicles, calling me a nigga, a little nigga mother. And when I went to the system told me I was a goddamn lie. I say defund these goddamn judges too. In closing, 836-3607 was Paul Hogan's number. Still recall it because he was my ticket to my freedom. He stood there and he seen who committed the goddamn crime, but because I was poor and all I could afford was a goddamn public defender who never got up and investigated the goddamn crime, I sat there for 28 goddamn years of my life. Now, what does justice look like? It's not that. These kids are mad. They're upset. And we won't change. We won't change. Yes. I really mean that. Change. I don't give a what Lori Lightfoot. And the same way I talk to you, I talk to her. Period. I don't give a what Lori Lightfoot. She has money for her pet projects. Okay. That's what she has. These kids got fathers locked up in prison. Fund these brothers and sisters that are coming out of these prisons and give them an opportunity. Don't paralyze them. Give them an opportunity. Free Gerald Reed.
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 Free Gerald Reed.